Good morning, honourable members. Good morning to our staff. Morning to the media and the Department of Health. We are logged into the meeting where there was a bit of some glitching. Ms. Majalamba is our host today, and I just wanted to confirm if she is logged in. I've just logged in now. And apologies to you for receiving the link, the Zoom link on a Monday for the meeting on Wednesday. So we had to go back and scroll a little bit to get to know where we are today. We will maybe correct it in future and still remind you to get the link at least the previous night before the next day. Okay. Ms. Majalamba, are you logged in?
Yes, Chair.
Okay. May I welcome all the members of the portfolio committee, those who have logged in, and welcome the Department of Health, welcome the media that is logged in, and the staff that is supporting us in this program. We are today on what I will call the step two of this process where I think a week before last, we listened to the presentation made by the Member of Parliament on a request for some amendments to be made. And that presentation was listened to by all of us, had clarity seeking questions. Today, we are giving a platform to the Department of Health to make their presentation since they were listening to this presentation. Today we will be getting members to speak clarity, comment on the presentation of the Department of Health, and then after this charge, the staff supported by the legal team to prepare a report for us, having listened to both sides to take us forward. So there will still be a third meeting just to process this amendment bill. We will then allow that opportunity now for Ms. Majalamba to indicate the presence of any apologies that you might have to note. May I give this opportunity to you, Ms. Majalamba?
Good morning and thank you, Chair. I haven't received any apologies for this meeting. In the meeting, we have Dr. Dlomo, Dr. Gyandi, Ms. Gela, Dr. Jacob, Ms. Kwakube, Ms. Wilson, Ms. Chirwa, Dr. Tendekwayo, Mr. Van Staden. Thank you, Chair.
Okay. Yeah, thank you very much. I suppose we will still be aware that Honorable Sokata is still recuperating, though feeling better now, but he's still in the hospital. I spoke to him yesterday, so we will note his apology that he's still in the hospital, not well. He might have just missed sending it to us formally, but we note that he is still in the hospital. The other member that I didn't hear you mentioning, Munyai, Honorable Munyai, has been logged in.
No, Chair, Mr. Munyai has not logged in.
Okay. Thank you very much. A constant, always present member of the Department of Health is the PLO, the Parliamentary Liaison Office of the Minister, Mr. Joe Khadla, who is able to also assist us as to who is accompanying him, because he is almost a permanent member, always available and present. May I give this opportunity to you, Mr. Joe Khadla, to introduce those who are supporting and accompanying you, and then tell us who is leading, and then thereafter, then the whoever is leading the presentation can then start.
Thank you very much, Chair, and good morning, Honorable Chair, and good morning, Honorable members. Let me start by also conveying the apologies, Honourable Chair, from obviously the Minister and the Deputy Minister, Honourable Chair. The team is led this morning by the acting DDG, Ms. Annelisa Pele, and supported by Mr. Ramphelani Morewane, who's the Chief Director of District Health Services. And lastly, from the legal service, we have Advocate Koroto Mwabelo. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thanks for that, Mr. Khatla. Then we'll take it back to welcoming the team and ask Ms. Annelisa Pele to lead, if she's the one who's starting or advocate, or whoever, whichever way they've arranged themselves. Thank you very much.
Honorable Chair, honorable members, thank you so much for this. In terms of the managers that are coming from the department, how are we going to be doing the presentation done by Ms. Murewana as introduced as the Chief Director responsible for District Health System. And in terms of the previous presentation, Chair, that was done, he was part of the managers that sat and listened to the proposal that was brought forward. In terms of the presentation, he will lead the presentation. How it is structured, we have looked at the processes in terms of legal processes that are to fold in terms of this area, and also will cover the component in terms of the policy. So from the team, Chair, the presentation will be led by Mr. Murewana. Thanks a lot, Chair.
Thank you. We will appreciate if you are sitting in a, or not, by the, now we are going to be slighting the presentation, but if you make your remarks, we would have appreciated to see your faces. Then you can move into the slide.
Chairperson, good morning. Okay. And good morning, honorable members. Good morning, colleagues from the Department of Health. My name is Ramphelani Morewane. I'm going to be presenting input from the National Department of Health on the National Health Amendment Bill as private members being. I want to go on the slide.
Mr. Murewane, can you make it on the, to be on a slideshow? Thank you.
Yeah, there it is. Chair. All right. Chair, the presentation layout is as it is visible on the screen. I'll do the brief introduction and background. I'll cover the legislative program, deal with the funding, socio-economic impact assessment system, the number of facilities operating for 24 hours, critical success factors, and then I will conclude, Chair. Chair, the Honourable Member, Honourable Dr. Tembekwayo, Member of Parliament, submitted in private members' bill in terms of which it proposes that health establishments funded by the state should operate for 24 hours. Right. With regard to the legislative program, Chair, the department and indeed the ministry annually prepare a legislative program, and that gets submitted to the leader of government this year. And the purpose of the program is to allow government and cabinet to plan appropriately. In 2020-2021 legislative program, we as a department submitted a program with two bills, which are mainly the National Health Insurance Bill and the Tobacco and Electronic Delivery Systems Bill. The process for both bills has been negatively affected by the COVID-19 pandemic lockdown, which means that they may have to be revised. With regard to funding, Chair, it is necessary to secure funding for the implementation of the legislation. The funding of the bill is very important, and the government budget cycle determines the strategic objectives in the annual performance plan to achieve goals of the government of the day. The bill in its current form will have massive financial implications for the department and the ministry. The quantification of costs for this bill must be done before the bill could be considered. The sponsor of the bill, the Honorable Dr. Tembeko Ayo, Member of Parliament, that the department and the ministry must find money for this bill. Now we are just making the committee aware, and obviously this is a known fact, that the current account is currently under financial stress and it will struggle to adjust the budget, current budget against the health requirements as a result of COVID-19 pandemic. With regard to socio-economic impact assessment system, all the bills, the regulations, and policies are subjected to socio-economic impact assessment system, which involves the affected person and determines whether the law or the policy is the correct vehicle to achieve the objective. This process determines whether the bill or the regulation or policy is the appropriate vehicle to achieve the objective. The objective of the bill in this regard is to legislate for 24-hour clinics. It's likely that the legislation is not the most appropriate vehicle to make clinics operate for 24 hours, and I'll explain as we go further why we think so. There are currently clinics that are operating for 24 hours, but they were not legislated before they could operate for 24 hours. And therefore, we think it's not necessary to legislate for the clinic to operate for 24 hours. Socioeconomic impact assessment system process would have assisted the proposer to use alternative methods to increase the number of clinics operating for 24 hours. And we feel that because the bill has not been subjected to this process, that was not able, that was not done in advance. Now, what are the socioeconomic rights? The right to have access to health is a socioeconomic right achievable progressively over a period of time, subject to the availability of resources. The state must take reasonable legislative and other measures to achieve progressive realization of this right. The legislative measure is not the most appropriate one to have the clinic operate for 24 hours. The department is committed to progressively increase the number of clinics to operate for 24 hours over the next financial year. In terms of legislative review and development, Parliament is currently processing the NHI bill, and the NHI bill may result in the amendment of the National Health Act. And the FALRC has also commended amendments to the National Health Act. The National Health Amendments have been put on hold pending the finalization of the NHI so that the National Health Act be subjected to holistic amendments, avoiding the piecemeal amendments of the Act. The desirability of the bill. The department has a commitment to ensure that all primary health care facilities operate for 24 hours. And as I said earlier, this is being achieved through progressive means as and when the resources become available. And therefore, it is not necessary to legislate for the clinic to operate for 24 hours. The introduction of 24-hour services requires data relating to the human and other resources required for the implementation of these services for 24 hours in the health establishment, and the uncertainty of the funding of the expanded services. The department supports the introduction of the Comprehensive Health Amendment Bill in due course. Now, from here, Chair, I'm going to be sharing with the members the number of health facilities that are, the number of primary health care facilities that are operating 24 hours and those that are not. The data relating to how many health establishments open for 24 hours and how many do not is critical to determine the exact cost of human resources, personnel, medical equipment, administration, personnel, and security required, and other, I know, concomitant commodities that are required. Now, what are the policy measures with respect to 24-hour services and primary healthcare facilities? And so we're saying here, Chair, the operation of the primary healthcare facilities for 24 hours is based on the world standard practice. The world standard practice, and it's actually in terms of what I'll explain later, already catered for in the current practice in the council. Yes, there are factors that inform the operation of the clinic for 24 hours. The first of those many aspects is the packages of care. All health facilities that operate over 24 hours do so purely to see the emergencies and not ordinary cases. That is why even the hospitals categorize every user who comes after 16 hours as an emergency. And I make an example of hospitals here because hospitals are operating 24/7. Even them, they see anybody who comes after 16 hours as an emergency. Some of the primary health care facilities do not have capacity to manage emergencies that would be seen after normal working hours. The next factor is the human resource capacity. The primary health care facilities are not able to operate for 24 hours because of shortage of human resources. And we've already stated this above, Chair. And this is coupled with the lack of additional space for the extended hours of services. On employment relations matter as another factor, the opening of the primary healthcare facilities for 24 hours will require discussion with the organized labor before this can be implemented. Regarding safety and security of the healthcare workers, since some of the nurses have been threatened or assaulted while working for extended hours, and this has led to the staff being scared to work after normal hours, hence our view that we need to engage in the employment relations space, so that, you know, everybody is satisfied about the safety and security of personnel. The space for the delivery of services, as I've already mentioned, Chair, there are currently 1,050 primary health capacities that have adequate space to accommodate all the services. Once all other factors are addressed, such clinic will be able to render 24-hour services. So because I've mentioned many other factors, but I just wanted to bring to the fore here that in terms of infrastructure space, 1,050 primary health care facilities have satisfied that requirement. Now, we also need to avoid unnecessary litigation. The primary health care facilities that were to open for 24 hours when infected do not have necessary capacity may lead to the users suing the state for failing to work according to the hours that have been stipulated in the law. Now, regarding the number of facilities operating within the catchment areas is another factor. So we're saying health facilities are organized according to catchment areas so that the community can always make use of the facility that is open within that catchment area. And should the users need the services after normal hours, they can then go within the same catchment area to access services. And therefore, this allows for the users to be referred to the next level of care if the facility nearest to them is closed. The next 9 slides, Chair, are just showing the total number of clinics that are rendering 24 hours as we speak, so that we know that there are indeed clinics that are rendering 24 hours. And this number changes almost every year as the conditions and the factors get improved, they improve. So rather than read for this per district with chairperson allows, I'll just read per province. So say in the Eastern Cape, out of 773 primary health care facilities, we've got 125 that are rendering 24 hours service. In the Free State, out of a total of 221 primary health care facilities, we've got 6 of them that are running 24 hours. In Gauteng, out of 368 total clinics, primary health care facilities, we've got 35 of them that are rendering 24 hours. In KZN, out of 607 primary health care facilities, we've got 90 of them that are rendering 24 hours. In Limpopo, out of 482 primary healthcare facilities of a total of 122 that are under 24 hours. In Mpumalanga, out of a total of 288, we've got 46 that are entering 24-hour services. In the Northwest, out of 310, we've got 79 primary healthcare facilities that are operating over 24 hours. In the Northern Cape, out of 161 primary healthcare facilities, we've got 12 that are running for 24 hours. In the Western Cape, out of 261, we've got the 11 facilities that are running 24 hours. In conclusion, Chair, once again, just to restate that the Department of Health is committed to providing 24-hour service in our facilities in line with the principle of district health system. One of those principles is talking about accessibility of services to all people. So this access is incrementally increased as the spectra stated above get addressed. And just to state for a fact that, and I picked up two big measures, that not all clinics in this metropolitan municipalities are operating for 24 hours, in spite of them being bigger metros. The city of Johannesburg, 13 clinics out of 116 are operating for 24 hours. And the city of Cape Town, 11 clinics out of 45 are operating for 24 hours. Thank you very much, Chairperson. Over.
Okay, thank you very much, Mr. Ramhele Molwane. Yeah, you get it right. I have noted four hands so far. Dr. Jacob, I'm sure other members were taken up by the presentation.
And myself, yes.
Hold on. I don't know what is this choir, what is it about. I was still mentioning. What is that, Ms. Matalamba?
Dr. Tembe Kwayo, Chair, she would also like to ask a question.
Yeah, I have not even started giving you the names of those who are going to start. So then she will get the right number once I tell who is starting. The first hand that came up was that of Dr. Kenny Jacobs. The second person to ask would be Honorable Chirwa. The third one would be Honorable Gela. And then now I get fourth one is Honorable Wilson. Wilson is number four. Then Honorable Tembe Kwayo would be number five. Number six is Dante. I'm left with who else is left now? Nobody else has got. So number six is Dante for now. I'll then be the last if there's no other taker. In that order, Honorable Members, let's just let me not interrupt you. Start, it would be Dr. Jacobs, followed by Ms. Chira, number three, Ms. Keller, fourth, Ms. Wilson, number five, Dr. Tembe Kwayo, and the last one, number six, Dr. Dante, in that order. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. Good morning, all the members, and thank you very much for asking me to deliberate again on this presentation. Private members bill that was brought by the Honorable Tembe Kwayo. Section 27(2) of the Constitution states that the state must take reasonable legislative and other measures within its available resources to achieve the progressive realization of each of certain rights. And those rights are the right to life and the right to access to health care, amongst others. It is ANC policy to provide health care to all people at the point nearest to where they live, as contained in our 2011 election manifesto. Government is also seized with the same concept, and we've just heard in the presentation. In an ideal world, it would have been wonderful to have had a healthcare facility in every neighborhood, which wants to operate 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. unfortunately, this is just not achievable within our financially constrained society. We are also now having the further constraint of the negative impact of the COVID-19 on the fiscus. We are busy with the final part of the public participation process on the NHI bill, the outcomes of which will surely also speak to the same matter. We have also heard that there is a revisit of the National Health Act of 2003, which in itself is a large task, and therefore my suggestion is that we should wait for this revised work instead of having to bring amendments one at a time. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Chairperson. It's actually quite disappointing the reasons the department has brought forth on why they would rather have this bill not be legislated. Firstly, it's not a priority for us that we have a commitment to ensure that primary health care facilities operate for 24 hours. That has nothing to do with us as legislators. And as we know, there's been many commitments made over time. I mean, even charter for that matter, the Freedom Charter is a commitment, but it has never manifested for many South Africans at large, especially on the question of land. So when you say you have a commitment to ensure that primary healthcare facilities operate for 24 hours, it means nothing to us as legislators. We are here in the House of Legislation to make bills, and thus it is very important that this bill is in fact put into effect. And secondly, as legislation, as Parliament, as a portfolio committee, we are not tasked with the job of finding money or funds, right? But what we have a task and obligation to do is wait for the Treasury and Department proposed funding model. And then we have the last day as Parliament on the allocation of the resources collected to the national through the National Revenue Fund. So then we then decide the best way at the end of how this bill will be funded. And another thing, emergencies don't happen between 8 a.m. and 4 p.m. Now, to say that the only facilities that operate for 24 hours are those that cater for emergencies is actually also quite disingenuous. I was in BJ Forrester in the past few days doing oversight there. The district hospital that was supposedly meant to operate for 24 hours but wasn't operating, didn't have the capacity to do so until 16 community healthcare workers were employed into the hospital. So even a hospital that you brag about, the clinic that you speak about, the clinic that you count as 24-hour centers, do not have the capacity. And you don't resolve the issue of capacity by rejecting a bill. You strengthen capacity. If the issue is infrastructure, you strengthen infrastructure. If the issue is human resource, you build human resource. You don't just sideline people's rights to health as and when they need it because there's challenges. Of course, it's going to be challenges. There's challenges with imagining the NHI, with the amount of money it's going to cost. But so moving forward regardless, and the NHI is also not a solution to primary healthcare facilities opening for 24 hours. It is not mentioned in the bill, and thus you can't even bring it as a counter argument to the National Health Amendment Bill that has been proposed by the EFF, Honorable Susan Temekwai. So that's the commitment you are making in this portfolio committee as a National Department of Health do not have anything to do with that. Another issue, you mentioned the issue of security. The National Health Amendment Bill is not a solution to the issue of security. Yes, the issue of security and safety already without the National Health Amendment Bill. How do you solve the issue of security and safety? You strengthen security systems. Your clinics get broken into week in and week out. Even the summer has recommended how to strengthen security systems, the biometric systems and all of that. You have not responded to the recommendations that have been given by even parliamentarians in parliament, by even civil organizations and unions on how to strengthen the issue of security. So now to bring up the issue of security as why you counter this bill is also disingenuous, because if you have an issue of security, then you strengthen security. You don't take away people's rights to health care as and when they need it. And that's the reason that has been brought by the Department of Health are sadly quite weak. If they want to counter the the bill that has been proposed by the EFF to Honorable Susan Hendewayo, they must come up with something else. And not these weak things. We obviously know that the capacity issue with the National Department of Health, outside of the NHI ambitions, outside of everything else, outside of the National Health Amendment Bill, our health system has collapsed a long time ago. You don't respond to the fact that people wait in queues from 4 a.m. in townships and rural areas by telling us that we don't need 24-hour clinics to happen because you are not familiar with the issues that are faced on the ground. What do you have to say to women who give birth outside on the street? What do you have to say about those litigation cases? What do you have to say about the litigation case of people dying just by the doors of the clinic? Do those not concern you? Obviously not, because then you don't count them in your assessment, in your analysis of the National Health Amendment Bill that has been proposed. And lastly, solve issues for what they are. Don't conflate issues, especially the National Department of Health. It is disingenuous completely to note each and all of those things that you have mentioned as why this bill is not important. It is very important. You know it is important. Infrastructural issues are issues you must solve as a department, which you have failed to solve for 26 years and cannot be conflated to this particular bill. Issues of accessing primary health care, you have failed to provide for South Africans and other South Africans to date and cannot be conflated to this. In fact, if anything else, this bill works for the purpose of those issues. What about people who are employed? How do they then access things after the 4 p.m. time slot? How do the people in township areas who have one point of access and facility, do they have to travel for 12 hours like in the Eastern Cape when we saw last time when they were presenting the COVID-19 structural issue? People travel for hours to access hospitals that can take care of them once clinics are closed down. And that cannot be tolerated. That cannot be brought to us as a reason why you cannot prioritize this bill. As members of parliament, as legislators, it is in fact within our hands to ensure that this happens. And as the cabinet, as the executive, it is in the executive's hands to ensure that the funds for this are sourced and is able to manifest this bill. Thank you very much, Chair.
Next, thank you very much, Chairperson. Let me welcome the presentation done by Mr. Ramthele. Chairperson, I want to say that it is really that the bill has been presented by Dr. Themba Gwayo last time, and really with the response that we get today from the department, which are true and which are relevant indeed. Looking at the status of our country, currently the country is under stress. All of us, we know that the COVID-19 has had an impact in our country. And really, the issue of human resource check, we must also check it. I can hear that Honorable Chiba is saying it's a duty of the department that they must see actually how to find, how to make sure that we operate 24 hours. I think the department has done a good work check. The government that is led by African National Congress. Because before, we didn't have 24-hour clinics before our democracy. Clinics were open from 7 until 4 o'clock. Sometimes less than 4 o'clock. It was depending from the people, from the ruling party of that time, from the apartheid regime, how they handled as people. So I think we must really appreciate that they've done a good work. If you check the data check, that shows how many clinics that are operating 24 hours And you can see the whole South Africa, most of the 9 provinces, they do have 24-hour clinics that are operating, which is a good work that you must appreciate as politicians. That we must make sure that we support also the department because they have done the good work, actually. For instance, in Gauteng, all 5 bridges, Ekurhuleni, Joburg, Tshwane, and also West Rand City, they do have 24-hour clinics. Even in the rural areas, Eastern Cape, Western Cape, although in Western Cape, it's only one area, which is Cape Town. The other areas, they don't have a 24-hour clinic. But the department has worked very hard to make sure that they respond. And COVID, I mean, MPK is correct. As a leading government, we understand, Chair, and really the government is understanding that we must have 24-hour clinic, but we can't do in all areas at the same time. Looking at the financial situation or at the, our economical situation, but they do it in the incremental way, which we really appreciate, because before there was no 24-hour clinic, but under this government of African National Congress, we see a difference. We must appreciate that really. We must not always criticize when you want things that must happen, which is something that we did as ANC, that we want in our manifesto, we said we want 24-hour clinic. They just copy what we said as African National Congress, and they come here to break and say that as EFF, we want to make a bid for a clinic, which is their commitment in their manifesto, and they want to force us to implement. Even the situation doesn't allow that. I think purposing this thing must be sorted, and we are not saying that this thing is wrong or not. We are saying it's going to be implemented, but we must really appreciate what's been done by our government. And the other issue, Chair, the issue of safety and security, we must also look to those issues. We must not make our healthcare front workers put them at risk. Those issues, the department, I think they've done a good job to check where we can, where we cannot. And I'm very happy and appreciating that you are honest with us as members of parliament, that you have looked at the matter and you are not objecting the matter. But as members of parliament, we must also consider all the issues that what is going to happen, what is not going to happen, which is a good move, actually, that you are doing. And I think, Chair, the other issue, the issue of NHI, which is going is a solution. I don't know, Honorable Shira, when you say NHI is not the solution. We are trying all the
points
that
order,
South Africa, we must make sure that we treat our people with an equal standard.
Point
because when
order,
we check, we see...
Point of order.
Chairperson, can I proceed?
No,
thank
I
you, Chairperson.
Pause and listen. I hear a point. Who are you? Just mention your name first. I'm sorry.
Honorable
Naledi Chair. I don't know. But I don't get...
Honorable Naledi Chair.
Okay.
Yeah, because I'm
yeah.
raising a point of order because I'm being named mobbed here. Clearly, when I've mentioned why the NHI is not a solution, but because she's asking, I will give a point of clarity just quickly. The NHI will not build clinics. The NHI will not build security systems. The NHI will not build security. The NHI will not open clinics with 24 hours. The NHI will not grow
human
resources. Chair, that's not a point of order. That's not a point of order. I'm an MP. It's so obvious. Just a few things. That's all.
That's a point of order.
Please. If you're going to be Bob, you must speak proper things. Don't come here and waffle. You must speak proper things. The NHI will not build human resource or hospital or provide 24-hour services, and that is why this bill is also important. And I'm
Mute that line.
I'll mute myself. I just need to make it clear. You must listen, understand, comprehend. You're a member of parliament.
She's not even scared to talk to you like that. Mute her.
Scared of you how? We're colleagues, you're not the boss here. We are colleagues, we are equals in this room. Why must I be scared of you?
Honorable Ms. Matalamba.
To respect the chairperson. That's what we're saying. Respect the chair. When she's stopping you, stop.
You didn't even have permission to speak. How do you tell me I must respect the chairperson?
Mute this member. Please.
Yes, chair.
We have muted, chair.
Continue, Ms. Keller.
Thank you very much, chair. Charity begins at home. Chair, I will just say that because we are not equal, we must respect each other. Although we are colleagues, but we know that we have our elders. So I think, Comrade Chira, I saw you actually. It's how you behave. But you must learn how to respect elders. Chair, I think NHI is a solution, Chair. I want to say that because, Chair, it's a good move for us as a country to make sure that we implement it. And people of South Africa have spoken, Chair, during our public hearing. Actually, they were saying they were happy about NHI and saying that we were told that you are coming
to order,
we are going to implement this NHI to us as early as possible, which is a good move, Chairperson, and which is going to address some of the issues that we are facing. As a government. It's true, Chairperson,
of the portfolio we are now point of order.
At 24 years of being 5 years as government. Which
Chairperson,
is
point of order.
And CDR, and really check, if you can check where we are coming from, check. There's
point
a lot of things
order.
That have happened, check, which are good things
point
that
of
happened
order,
to us.
I'm raising a point of order.
And the real chairperson, I think if the department is going to have a comprehensive health bill amendment, why can't we wait so that at least we include all these
chairperson, can you please chair?
Under one umbrella?
Can you please
and move
chair?
Forward, chairperson?
Please
I don't
chair,
know,
chairperson.
Honorable Chirwa is.
Honorable Dr. Jomo, point of order. Please, Chair.
Chair, Honorable Chirwa is disturbing me. I didn't disturb
no,
her.
No, I'm raising a point of order.
During the time when you allow her to speak. I
no,
think
it's
she
a point
must
of order.
Me.
I don't want to disturb you. It's a point
I think,
of order.
She must respect me. She must respect me. I'm the member of parliament. I have a
I
right
also
to
am.
Speak.
I'm raising a point of order.
I didn't interfere her when she was speaking.
We are allowed
and
to raise really, honorable.
No, you can raise whatever that you want to raise, Honorable Chirwa. After
point of order.
Honorable.
No, a point
don't
of order is a point of order.
Don't be sidetracked. But Honorable Kela, continue making your input, please.
Thank you, Chair. I think as I'm saying that the Comprehensive Health Bill Amendment, which we are welcoming it, as a member, which is going to help us and also include even whatever that you want to include in the bill, because we are going to get time to consider and also check and put our input
so that at least before it being amendment, we have forwarded all our input as members of parliament. And I think for now, Chair, this bill that brought by Honorable Thembe Kwayo is a good one, but undesirable. For now,
no.
We can't implement it.
Sorry.
We will wait for the amendment so that at least we consider even other issues, the issues of NHI, which is
sorry,
a good thing that I think that it's a good move. But also the department, well done with your work under the leadership of Dr. Zwelin Khize as the political head of the department. We have seen the good work that they are doing, in the department. And really, Chairperson, I think everyone can see, actually, those who have eyes, they can see the improvement, Chairperson. I know that, Chairperson, some people are negative, especially the opposition party. Whether we are coming with the good things, we are doing the right thing for the people, but you can't mislead the people of South Africa. I think the people of South Africa voted for us because they saw actually what we have done for them since after 1994. There are many things that the government has done for the people of South Africa. They are benefiting, which is a good thing. And I think we're still going forward to make sure that we listen to the people of South Africa. We do the right thing, Chairperson, because really, we are a leading
point of order. Can we
for
be
instance,
Before
1994 and now,
we're talking about the National Health Amendment Bill, not the NHS.
Chairperson, I'm saying that people of South Africa, they can see actually what is happening in South Africa. I think we are still in the good move. We are still in the good path, and we want to mislead the people of South Africa.
Can we speak to the National Health
Amendment Bill? We make sure that they benefit, and to those units that are operating 24 hours, we really appreciate, because I even myself went to one of the clinics that is operating 24 hours, which is doing a very good work, Chairperson. And also, there's also other developments that are happening, Chairperson, around the country. Yesterday, I saw even in the news in Mpumalanga, where there's a clinic that was also doing the good work for our community, especially in the rural areas. And also here, Chairperson, in Randfontein, there's a beautiful clinic, Chairperson, that is under construction, which is the Department of Health that is doing it, and it's going to operate 24 hours, which is a good move, Chairperson. That's why I'm saying the department is doing an incremental, Chairperson, which we really appreciate. There's also a state of art clinic in Randfontein, Chairperson, which is having all things, which the Department of Health has done. I said to the Department of Health, you are doing the good work, besides the criticism that you get from other people. But for now, we are really happy, and we are saying moving forward with the good work that you are doing. Thank you, Chairperson.
Okay, honorable members, let us not be tempted to actually get out of this program and just stick to it. But again, there is also a desire that you must be tolerant of each other. When you speak now, I noticed that honorable Thembe Kwayo was wanting to come in, but before you, Mami Thembe Kwayo, there is honorable Wilson, and then you come after her. Thanks. Honorable Wilson, come through.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Chair. Sorry, I just had to unmute. Chair, I don't have questions, but I do have statements. And I have to refer back to the NHI or the proposed NHI at this point. think first of all what I want to say is it's very, very clear in the public hearings, and we were all there, that while people were supportive of the NHI on the ground, they were also very, very clear that they were desperate for proper clinics, easy access to clinics, proper ambulance services, etc., etc., etc. What we are seeing here today is that that is a pipe dream. Okay. So I think very, from the outset, we must not mislead the public who are expecting new clinics, operational clinics, staffed clinics, ambulances, proper medicine, because according to this report, that's not going to happen. And that is of major concern. Honorable Gela has been to see a couple. Wonderful. There's over 3,000 clinics out there. See, clips not highlight three. Because when I read this report, there is anything between 2% and 10%, possibly 20%. In every province that is that may have 24-hour clinics. And those 24-hour clinics do not offer all the services. And here's the NHI. The process will be for everybody to register at their clinic. They will then be referred, if necessary, from the clinic to the hospital. If we do not have operational clinics, facilities at clinic, how then can we implement the proposed NHI, which claims that the person must be referred from the clinic to a hospital, because that will be the route that they will have to follow. And what this report data shows me quite clearly, and I'm looking at it now, okay, the amount of clinics, I'm looking now, for instance, at this balloon, so I'm just going up one, in the Northern Cape, it has to be one of the most rural, spaced-out provinces in the country, of 161 clinics, which is fiercely undercated for in an area of this size with the spaces. There are only 12 clinics operating 24 hours a day. People are hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of kilometers away from those clinics in the Northern Cape. So out of only 12 out of 161 are fully operational. Quite frankly, I don't even know how we can be considering the NHI if we do not have the very, very, very basic in place, like properly functional, properly staffed, properly resourced clinics with sufficient hours to manage the NHI and its referrals. And I'm sorry, I think this report is actually quite bad.
Okay, you finished, Ms. Wilson. Okay. The next one is the Honorable Thembekwayo. Dr. Thembekwayo.
Thank you, Chairperson, for the opportunity provided for me. But I just would like to comment on the what the member, Honorable Member Stella said, not to cause a debate, but to say to her, we are all members of Parliament and duly so. And so is Honorable Naledi Chirwa. We came here due to our representation of our political party, and we have the right to communicate on any matters that involve any legislativeness without fear or favor. She is right in anything that she said, and she said a mouthful. So it's not a matter of age here, about her, and we don't have to take things personal here. And secondly, to say to her, I'm a doctor. I'm not just Thembekwayo. When you refer to other people, you say, Dr. Wuhu, and you say Thembekwayo, I'm a doctor. I took whole years to study, and so I should be acknowledged and addressed so, according to my title, respected. And sometimes when people respond, that they must think first on what they are going to say, because it's a matter of intellectual engagement, not just blabbering from the blabberings that we have. And Naledi Chirwa, yes, Honorable Naledi Chirwa, such a mouthful, and I appreciate that. I'm not going to add a lot. But to the Department of Health, I'm just wondering about the negativity into the way that you respond to this beautiful intellectual piece of amendment that I proposed. But to say to you, we will continue on engagement until we see justice into this matter. Because it's not a matter of a personal, it's not a personal matter, it's not even an EFF matter, but it's a matter of the South Africans, the poor South Africans who cannot access hospitals at their own in time. We are committed to this amendment of legislation and until at the end. And then just to highlight to you, to say the importance of legislation is to enshrine the rights of all people in South Africa, and it affirms the democratic values of human dignity, equality, and freedom. So this Bill of Rights binds the legislative. You know, you are afraid of taking, you know, to say we'll be able to take this legislation on. The executive, it takes the executive and the judiciary and all organs of state to accountability of this matter. So when you say it's not the correct way, what do you think is the correct way that we should accept? Because this is the correct way, and we need to add a sentence into the act that hasn't been there. Maybe it was done deliberately to frustrate the poor, black, vulnerable South Africans. And if you say the legislative measure is not appropriate, what is appropriate according to you? Because we feel, we sat and we thought, and definitely we are supported into this legislation. And it's very much disappointing to have such response from your department. Thank you. But Gela, Honorable Naledi Chirwa is a member of Parliament, and rightfully so. And don't bring about personal matters here. It has got nothing to do with respect. It's about saying what she feels is right to be said here. Thank you, Chair.
No. Honorable Thembekwai, Dr. Thembekwai, you are opening a debate now that is unnecessary, because it is me who is chairing the meeting, and it is me who actually asked the staff members to drop the member. It's not, so let's not bring that issue now. We have made your point and accept it. There are two other hands that came after I finished this. After Honorable Janti was number six, I have since recognized two other hands in this order, Honorable Kwahube and then the last one. Please, colleagues, when we do this, come on time so that you can indicate. After Janti, it will be Honorable Kwahube, and then the last hand will be Honorable Munyai. Thank you.
Is it me, Chairperson?
Yes.
Thank you very much, Chairperson, for the opportunity. I would like to also thank the department for the presentation. So it is unfortunate that when we are discussing such important matters, we must start by fighting amongst each other. But what I want to raise, Chairperson, is that the decorum, when we are in committee, we are in parliament, therefore we should maintain the decorum of the House. As we are saying, we are honorable members, we should also be honorable and respect each other, irrespective of age, respect each other. That's what I want to say. But coming to the point of the debate at hand, Chairperson, the department brings some important points into the argument. One which is most important is the financial implication of this current proposed amendment to the bill. And they are bringing another important issue of the lack of human resources, which is not only resources, is a shortage here in South Africa, global shortage human resources, the WHO told us during the pandemic that the pandemic exposed us worse than ever that there is the global shortage of human resources. And therefore, this amendment is not going to bring the human resources that is needed to this clinic. The department is saying they are doing all they can. When the clinics are built now, they are built to accommodate all these issues that we've been bringing up, that without a proper clinic. I visited one of the clinics just a few days ago around here. You can never imagine that you could have a 24 hours in that kind of structure. And I don't think the department is running away from saying that there should be incremental improvement. As you improve the clinic, for instance, they make an example of one clinic. As you improve the clinic, you then look at other resources that can make it be a 24 hours clinic. We all care about South Africans. We have worked in this department. We know how much our people are suffering, particularly the poor, black, and we would like to see that in their lifetime there's improvement in their health. And therefore, Chairperson, without us looking at the cost, that should be done before the bill could be considered. That would be reckless. We should engage the department to go and look at the costing and do the costing incrementally, because you cannot have all these clinics in the whole of South Africa being 24 hours. And it is true that emergencies in hospitals where we work, you do not take cold cases after four because of the same shortage that we're talking about. So how do you expect that if you are in a clinic in the rural areas, you will be catered for? We must first look at what is happening in the real life and improve on those things. We are not saying the bill is not important, because the commitment we've made long before that will improve the health of the people of South Africa. Thank you very much.
Honorable Kwakube.
Thank you, Chair. I do apologize. I wasn't going to make input on the substance of the discussion, because I did feel that the colleagues who spoke right at the beginning did cover some of the issues that the department has raised. But Chairperson, I think it would be amiss for me not to express my disappointment at the behavior of our committee. And three things, Chairperson, are concerning me. One is the issue of respectability in this committee. We are, as a number of people have stated, we are all colleagues. And we've got to afford each other the kind of respect that you would a colleague. Somebody's age, somebody's gender has no place in a place of work, and they need to be afforded the kind of respect you would any other person. There are no elders at work, there are but colleagues. And we've got to be all collegial with one another, and we've all got to respect one another. Secondly, Chair, I'm appalled by the amount of political jostling that is happening in our committee. We are a team. When something is being presented to this committee for us to consider, we can't keep talking about how the ANC has done that, the EFF has done that, the DA has done that. We are a team. We're a team of legislators, yes, of all multi-party formations, but this is not about Ukuzimgombe's fuba. Sorry, I can't think of the English term for that. Ukuzimgombe's fuba about who's done what and who's done what. We've got to do our work, and our work requires us to engage the substance of the legislation that is before us. If we are here only to be praise singers of our own political organization, then we might as well pack up and go, because then we're failing at our job. And I'm just appalled, Chairperson, because the South Africans expect so much more of us, and we cannot be behaving in this way. And I'm pleading, Chair, that it's something that we've got to look at, and it's something that we've got to also understand, that while we come from different political parties, our role here is to make laws that impact all of South Africans, and therefore we must engage the pieces of legislation that come before us in that manner, in that spirit, and not in a manner that is political, that is divisive, and that is not constructive. I'm embarrassed by the way which this meeting has been conducted today. Frank, thank you.
Honorable Chairperson, thank you very much for the opportunity. And it is a fact that we are representing our political parties, so we don't represent our own seat. So it is very important that the political perspective from our own respective parties are at the center of the debate while we engage on any piece of legislation. First and foremost, Honorable Chair, let me welcome the department's input, which has been scientific, very informative, to guide the members to grapple with this piece of legislation. And I think it's also a fact, you know, a fact cannot be erased. There are certain political parties who can't formulate a manifesto, and what they do is a copycat, you know, plagiarizing some of the proposals that would have been put forward by other political parties in the ANC. What has been plagiarized?
I'm coming tonight. Please, let us not go into that type of preamble. Let us zoom into the issue. Because now, you will provoke somebody else to say, who am I? Am I a copycat of this? Let us just make our input here, and without the preamble, that might just provoke more and more discussions.
All I was trying to indicate, Honorable Chair, is that this proposal that is before us, in 2011 it was brought forward, it's a fact brought forward by the African National Congress. But realizing the reason put forward by the department, that, you know, remember we have a major comprehensive legislative that's before us, which is the National Health Insurance, which is comprehensive. And we cannot, do legislation in piecemeal or cook rice, you know, grain by grain. We have to be really scientific and also be, clear in terms of the planning. And we can't just bring legislation, because this issue of legislation that are planned by the department. And if the planning process has been gone, we can't even engage on that matter. I mean, let's come to the issue now. The issue, in my view, Honorable Chair, is that given the reason that are put forward, without repeating them, that are put forward by the department, which I agree that in the current fiscal cliff that we're in at the moment, we cannot afford the proposed legislation. It's a very good legislation, because at the end we advanced that before. But due to the limitations that are put forward by the department, it is not practical to engage on this particular matter. In my view, the bill in the current conjuncture is not desirable.
Point of order, Chairperson. It's Honorable Naledi Chirwa.
Point of order, Ms. Naledi.
Yeah, I just wanted to put it on record that even the NHI, we can't afford it, but you are able to support it. So what's the difference with this bill? Thank you.
No, that's not a point of order, Ms. Chewa. That's not a point of order. It's a debate now. We are engaging. Continue, Honorable Munyai.
Yeah, so therefore, this comprehensive NHI, it will accommodate a number of factors. So therefore, it may, amongst others, address the issues that the members are concerned about right now. So we should not, because NHI is comprehensive. And I remember what some of the leaders of the organization may not consider, Chair, is because the problem we have in South Africa, we have the dual separate system, you know, one for the rich, you know, and one for the poor. So the NHI seeks to address this inequality. So therefore, amongst others, due to the nature of the NHI, people across the country, including rural areas, will have access to services. So therefore, I stand by the views of the department, and I think what they give us as a resource has been very much important for the purpose of the debate in today's meeting. In that context, Honorable Chair, I think and I believe that this bill is not desirable. So therefore, it must be taken off from the debate first.
Thank you very much. May I make my input on this matter that has been presented? Thank you, the department, for their input on this matter. The members who were in the fifth parliament on this portfolio committee is Honorable Wilson and Honorable Tembe Gwala. And this bill, as we are discussing it, was brought into that fifth parliament. It was now carried over to us. I would like to start by giving credit to Honorable Tembe Gwala that this bill has been discussed then, and maybe this bill, I don't know, in relation, it appears that this bill, yes, obviously, not even, I think. This bill came to the fifth parliament for solo committee members before the NHI bill, and was left there to gather dust. And here now, we have brought it ourselves. I don't know how we brought it in, but it has now been. So it may as well be possible that at that time, without the NHI proposal and all that, Honorable Tembe Gwala could not have foreseen that part. But what I'm reading from this presentation is that the NHI bill is proposing certain amendments, among others, might actually cover what is being put in here, but not for the first time. It's already been there. It's not that it can accelerate it. So I think the bill that has been brought in by Honorable Tembe Gwala is actually apparently covered in some of these proposals that are coming in through the NHI bill amendment of the Health Act. However, there is something that is glaring from the presentation towards the end, that there are provinces that are doing relatively well compared to others, in particular Limpopo and KZN. Those are mainly rural, and those rural clinics, those rural provinces have got these clinics in the rural areas that are 24 hours. At least I can actually vouch for those 90 that are in the half, not more than 20 are in the urban. There are more, about 70 in the rural. So we would like to see the department accelerating, improving the clinic 24 hours in those that are likely rural. Eastern Cape, and also Honorable Wilson noticed also Northern Cape, another rural province where we really have, if you can speed up, because I've read it, it's true, you are closer to universal health coverage if you improve the services everywhere else, including rural areas. So the 24-hour process must be accelerated, even including those provinces. The third and the last point from my side, the best and ever well-resourced parts of our countries, I can name them, Johannesburg, Cape Town, Durban, you can pull any other town, but those three, Pretoria, have never prioritized a 24-hour service, because those were run by metros. To date, very few of those are actually running a 24-hour service because they are still under metros. There has been a debate whether all health services should be moved into the provincial government so that then, well, there's an argument by metros, we are happy to hand over if you are forcing us to provide 24-hour service. So from time immemorial, we have never had a 24-hour service cover except for hospitals in the country. So this process that we see has been slow, and we are thinking it is even much lower in other provinces. Can we please ask the department to accelerate even before we see the NHI, because it's just not on to have the Eastern Cape and Northern Cape the way you are showing here. Can we get your responses, members who are led by Ms. Aneliswa Tsaile?
Thank you so much, Honorable Chair, and also thanks to all the members for all the contributions that have come through in terms of the presentation that we have just made. Chair, if you may allow, I'll try to tackle some issues and then if Ms. Morona can add some areas. So, Chair, just to highlight and the fact that from our side, the way the presentation is, we have indeed tried to highlight the fact that we do have facilities that are running a 24-hour, that are providing a 24-hour service. But also just to bring to the committee chair the fact that if you look at all the designs in terms of its infrastructure, all the facilities that we are building at the moment, the design is such a way that on the basis that it's within the policy of the department that we should be running a 24-hour service. So all the new clinics or the facilities that are currently built, they are built in such a way that they in future the clinic should be possible to provide a 24-hour service. Also, Chair, just also to acknowledge the fact that as we are working and finalizing, working on the issues of the current National Health Act, there are some areas that we have picked up that are requiring that we need to be amending the Health Act. So we are approaching this in a comprehensive way. We are looking at all those areas that need to be amended so that when we bring the National Health Act as a proposal, the amendment to Parliament, at least we have incorporated all the areas that need to be amended. So, Chair, that process is underway as we are presenting here. So we do acknowledge also, Chair, the fact that we might have been slow in terms of implementing. However, we are in an incremental way trying our level best to say if there are requests that are coming on board in terms of requesting a service or 24-hour service, we do look at those requests and we do acknowledge the comments from the Chair in terms of us accelerating the matter. So I thought, Chair, that those are the issues and highlights the fact that we do acknowledge the comments that are coming through and that there is some homework on the side of the department to make sure that we look at the issues that have been raised by the honourable members. Thanks a lot, Chair. Maybe I can allow Mr. Morana to add if this is, that is in order with the Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Morana.
Okay, so Chair, so thank you very much, and thank you very much for the members for the questions that were raised. And Chair, I just want to add very few points after the Ms. Bennett, that we are making a commitment, and we said commitment, and we're very sure, because we say the Constitution, even under the preamble, makes that statement that we will have to progressively introduce and improve access of services to the people. So that is the statement that we have kept on saying we are. And we think that's a person because of where we took this process from. As we rightly said, and other members, that when we started running this, not many clinics were running 24 hours. And Chair, they are the other clinics that were inherited, which had very bad space, and hence I showed the number of clinics that they have in good space, which even if you were to try to run them for 24 hours, it would be very difficult to do. So as we're building new clinics, we're trying to balance on how to improve the older ones. So that is all those facts here, and we didn't want to hide any reason, any factor that would become a problem for us to run 24 hours. So we didn't want to use it as an excuse, but at the same time, we didn't want to hide, because those are the hard realities. And well over, when we have got to run them 24 hours, we've got to consider all those facts. So, Chair, in conclusion, just to say, we have taken the homework that we're given, and we'll definitely make good on our commitment to really listen and take to heart the advice that was given by the members of the committee here. As I step off chair, this, we've got Advocate Moabelo, who's excelled the legal mind behind the work that he's doing. And chair, without agitating for him to speak, but I'm just saying, he's the one that has really been making good and great input in terms of legal matters, and he's welcome on the call. Thank you very much, Chairperson, and over.
Mr. Mulane, are you calling for another person to make advocate to make an input?
If there's a gap on the legal matters that I may have left here, but I mean, if there's nothing, I'm happy to do this. Thank you.
Advocate, do you have anything to add?
Yes, yes, Honorable Chair. Good morning, Honorable Members. Good morning, colleagues from the department. I think from the legal point of view, the most important aspect for us is that the legislation is not an appropriate vehicle to achieve the professionalization of the 24-hour clinic. So that is why on our side we are saying we will not support the bill based on the fact that we don't need to legislate the new clinics, whilst we have the clinics that are not legislated, but they are operating 24 hours. Maybe the issue should be that the department must progressively increase the number of the clinics that are operating 24 hours. Thank you, Chair.
Our also hearing from
Honorable
I was also informed by our secretary that our legal team has been invited into this meeting to also listen. Well, the next step, Honorable Members, now would be to call another meeting where we will be taken through a report combining the input and the presentation of Honorable Dr. Tembekwayo with this response from the department, and therefore take the process forward. We will then leave that matter that has been discussed today at that point. I want to move to another point, if you could. I'm not dismissing the members of the Department of Health, but can we then say we will, in the future with time, schedule another meeting where the legal team supporting our staff will have prepared a report combining the input. The preamble of this would be like it was done today. Dr. Tembekwayo brought a bill and this, and this is their conclusion. We'll await that and therefore deal with that in 2 weeks' time. Honorable Members, there was one matter that was outstanding in our previous meeting, and therefore I wanted to address 2 things. One is that outstanding matter, and 2, my discussion with the House Chair. One, there was an outstanding matter that was raised, I think, by Honorable Fahube, to the effect that what does it mean? Now I'm back to the presentation that was made in the preparations of the NHI submission. What is the meaning? How do we handle a one submission on NHI bill with 40 others or 400 others supporting that one comprehensive submission? What does that mean? Now, I have been engaging the presenter, Mr. Bandi, and up to this morning, he says they are completing their consultation among themselves. I don't know whether maybe this is not one of the things that they are used to. So that process, Honorable Kwakube, has not been completed. Say, how do we deal, how do we treat that one comprehensive submission that was supported by 40 others attached to it? Is it a one submission or is it 1 plus 40? So that matter, I am not able to give you a thought on this. But I've also indicated to them that we will welcome that report once it is brought to us to be writing. So that it is not just me pronouncing on it, but we have to write that to us. Honorable Sheikh Imam, please switch off your mic. So let me then pause on this now before, because it was raised by Honorable Kwakube. I hope she is satisfied with the puzzle. There's nothing written yet down, but which they are still processing, and I've asked them to then finish and then bring it to us in writing.
Let me just pause there and say that was an outstanding matter. Honorable Kwakube, do you have any matter, any issue to raise on that?
No, thank you, Chairperson, and thank you for raising it again. And I look forward to Parliament's advising. The reason why it's quite important is because obviously in Parliament there is a convention, and it is also provided for in the rules of Parliament, the convention of petitions that are often submitted either to a portfolio or the petitions committee. But the idea or the culture of petitions is something that is often encouraged when it comes to Parliament. And so I hope that when the administration makes that call, they also look holistically at the idea of how public participation is better enhanced when we allow people to submit petitions in Parliament. But we can wait to hear from them, and I'm sure perhaps they can also engage the legal services at Parliament, just so that we can make sure that we are erring on the right side of the law and the right side of the rules of Parliament here.
Okay, this is greatly appreciated then. Let me then, colleagues, move over to another point. I had an engagement yesterday with the House Chair, Honorable Frolic, and raising the issue into where are we with the NHI bill? Because for now, in the country, the NHI bill is none other than with the Portfolio Committee of Health. It has not moved out of our hands, and therefore we need to actually make some progress thereon. So his advice to me was to say, look, please, make an appeal to the committee that you need to really be processing whatever that you are in to process. Use majority of your Wednesday meeting to really take the process forward. But I did indicate to him that there are other things that we want to have done, sort out that and this submission, but there are people who have made an indication, organizations and institutions, that want us to listen to them and make their presentation. So I said, look, that process, please, can you get started with the presentation? I'm even willing to support you to actually in and out of some of the sitting if you also use the Tuesdays and Thursdays, just like we are allowed sometimes to come in late or this and that. That process that you use in the whole country during public hearings, we will allow that, make your submission. So I'm just saying, with the secretary yesterday, then we went evening to prepare a draft program that we are going to send to the House Chair to actually grant us that time so that you can even maybe Thursdays after caucus, if there's no sitting or there's a sitting. He was even indicating to say, because of the urgency and the importance of what we need to process, if there is probably meetings in Parliament of a cluster that is not actually, let's say, social cluster, and it's a cluster of ministers who are not to do with us asking questions, may probably allow us to be in and out of such meetings because they would want to get this process. I think that is also the pressure he is getting from the Speaker, because this document came to us as a portfolio committee from the Speaker of Parliament. This is about the bill in your space processing. So we need to be indicating our progress in processing this matter. So we would also agree, honorable members, that we said that this will take a virtual form. We don't have to meet in one space. We also do not have to bring the presenters to Cape Town, but we will have to get started with the process. Also being requested strongly, strongly requested by the leadership of Parliament to process this bill so that at a particular time it is out of our hands and it can get processed elsewhere. I thought I should just mention those two honorable colleagues, those two points for this meeting, and I would like to then hear if there's any other member with any other issue that they would like to raise, but probably around what we have just discussed. I see, oh no, there's no new hands. I don't know the hands that are remaining there. I will only check now if you have new hands. just raised it as Honorable Kwakube is raising on her screen. She's the first one. And is there any other person who'd like to comment? Honorable Kumza, you raise your hand, we can't show your video. Okay.
I've raised my hand, sir.
Is Ms. Kwakube, Dr. Danti, any other one? No,
Honorable,
thank you.
Honorable Mnyai, have you seen it up?
And Honorable Wilson, please.
Thank you. Those four. Thank you. That Honorable Kwakube.
Thank you very much, Chair, and thanks for the feedback from your discussion with the Chair of Chairs. I think that it's important, as you recall, the last time we met, we tried to map out the process, and perhaps, Chair, I'm being a stickler here for process, but I think it's quite important for us to all be on the same page. So my understanding is that the first priority now before we get started on these oral submissions from the organizations is for us to wrap up the reports that we are getting from the various provinces on the oral.
Ms. Kwakube, sorry to interrupt you. I'm sorry, Manier. I should have addressed that part. Can I just ask you to pause a bit? Yes, there's a report that I received last night, and I'm going to be forwarding to members today. It's a 78-page document prepared by our parliamentary staff of our visits to provinces. I would like to make a proposal. You are right, Honorable Kwakube. We started that process, but I would also like that maybe we break that into 2 days. We take a report from province 1 to province 4 or 5, and then we continue and finish off after only 2 days. Honorable members, as soon as I finish here, I would request the parliamentary staff to send that 78-page document to yourself, and then that would be our first part of discussion. We'll be looking not to comprehensively finalize it, but just to get this document also looked into by ourselves. Sorry for that interruption. Continue then.
No, it's cool. Thank you for providing clarity. And then, obviously, Chair, the issue around programming and the sittings of the meetings is something that we're going to have to tread very carefully. I think it's important, and I'm glad that the Chair of Chairs is also in support of us prioritizing this work. But obviously, we've also got to be mindful of the fact that we've got Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays to be able to do this kind of work. But unfortunately for us, I mean, Mondays and Fridays remain constituency days. On Mondays in particular, we've got to be in our constituencies. And on Fridays, many of us have to travel to go to our constituencies. And so I just want us to be mindful of the fact that obviously when we were traveling across the country, a lot of concessions were made, but at a great cost to some of the work that we've got to do. So even if, you know, the leadership of Parliament is in great support of this important work that we've got to do, we have to be mindful of the fact that these are discussions that also have to be happening with our whips in our different political parties, because then it would require us to miss sitting in the House for various reasons. And so if we can perhaps get a proposal of a program like we had said the last time, and then we can look at it and we can make a decision based on that. I don't think it's just something as easy as saying, you know, the Chair of Chairs is happy for us to use the whole week and then that's that, you know, because we've got to consult elsewhere as well.
Okay, Dr. Funda.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I was rising just to talk to the reporter that you have just told us about. And I was going to propose that maybe we should start next week with this report and agree with you that we can't do the 9 provinces. Come to the 78-page document that you're going to send us on one day. The second issue, Jefferson, is about the hearings that we envisage would be started soon. I would plead with the chair that the finalize the program so that we can look into it as the committee and agree on which day. I suppose, Chair, we still have to be flexible enough as the portfolio committee and talk to our whips so that they can allow us, whether it is a Friday, the morning session, so that we can cover a lot of work. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Chairperson.
Honorable Wilson,
yes.
Thank you. I think I'm basically covered by the Honorable Folube with regards to, you know, this is not a discussion that can be held with the House Chair and the House Full Chair of Affairs only. Going into our busiest period now, one of the busiest periods that we are facing, that is midterm budgets, reports. There's a lot of voting and many communities that are going to come up to deal with this. They are priority in many instances. They require voting. They are going to require us to be in the House. And I think, you know, while we all want to get this process over and done with, we cannot do that at the cost of everything else. This is not a portfolio decision to make, and it's a portfolio decision alone to make, nor is it a decision that the Chair of Affairs can make without a discussion of the whips, particularly in light of what we're going to be doing over the next couple of months. Thank you, Chair.
Honourable Munyai.
Thank you very much, Honourable Chair. I think ideally it was going to be very important. I use the word carefully, ideally. It was going to be very important to start with conclusion of the presentation by the stakeholders. But nonetheless, that the meeting has resolved to start by looking at the provincial input. I would appreciate and support the view that at least if the portfolio committee could present a program, that or the roadmap that indicates as to when are we going to, it should be one problem. That hearing of looking at the submission of the various provinces, and as well as the dates in which we are going to have the to receive the presentation by various stakeholders to conclude that hearing. That would be very much important to come as the one program of action, at least to understand and get assurance as to when we're going to attend that activities of the stakeholders to come and make presentation. That would be my take, Honorable Chair. And I think really the decision of our program of action depends on the portfolio committee. And I want to indicate as well from the ANC point of view, the Monday and Tuesday is our constituency period for which we need to do a political work. So we would appreciate if other days could be considered, not affecting any other party in that context. Thank you.
Yeah. Honorable members, I was just giving you this, but thanks for your responses. I was actually giving you these highlights, not indicating that my discussion with the House of House Chair is cast in stone. It was just to start a process. Obviously, it cannot be that we'll deal with these things. We are here mandated by our political party, so you cannot take a program out of the political party line. But as you are saying, all of us know that a mandate should not be a no-no-go zone. But I also would be engaging the honorable members, as Honorable Bakube has indicated. If we actually say not a Friday morning, yes, we accept what we are traveling. If, by the way, we are saying there's a presentation, what they are virtually going to be done, there's a presentation at 4 o'clock on a Friday, would that be possible or not possible? So we are going to engage with yourself, because to some extent, Friday travel time. So those are some of the sacrifices that we are going to actually come and discuss with the members there. But I'm not very sure about Honorable Munyai, but because they have outside, the Tuesday is not being available. But Tuesday is part of parliamentary work. Some of the Tuesdays, if you start in the afternoon, we do not have, I mean, some of the committees sit on the Tuesday, so we might actually be stealing or borrowing time on a Tuesday morning to deal with this thing. But all that, all of the members are going to come in to you for your comments. On, again, to answer Honorable Munyai, it was a decision of this committee, maybe at the time you were having a time to lock in, to say, let us finish a particular process. Looking into this report, a 78-page document, is not that we are finishing, but let's just see what we did in provinces, and let the report talk to that. It's still going to wait for other processes, like processing what we are now going to start with, and therefore get a comprehensive picture. But the feeling of this committee was to say, let us get to wrap up a particular part of what we are engaged in, and put that aside while we're waiting for other components to come in. Not that there will not be any space to compare to that report. Obviously, the same report prepared by the staff members will actually need your input on it again to then, before you can say it is really our report and no more the staff members' report. So I will look into that, Honorable Janji, but I don't know whether next week there is a meeting. I don't know whether there's a meeting of the portfolio committee. Why, maybe I'm just finishing off the system. Mr. Lamba, you can indicate, remind me what is our meeting next week on Wednesday. Well, we do have a meeting next week. I can't remember what item is there. But yes, before we start with the public hearings, the request to listen to organizations, we'll do 2 days of this. Whether we're starting next week or the other week, I'm not sure. Maybe Mr. Machalba can remind me, what is our meeting all about next week, Wednesday?
Thank you, Chair. Next week, Wednesday, we are considering the provincial report on e-public hearing. Thank you, Chair.
Oh, we are starting already next week, okay, on Wednesday. So the report, Honourable Members, is going to come to you this afternoon, this 78 page. We will then interact with ourselves whether we do first four, first five, or, and then finish off in that regard. So, and then the other dates will then flow from that. If then there is no other point any other member would like to raise, would like to bring this meeting to a close, please, Honourable Members, let us continue. The members there have echoed statements of, can we be collegial to ourselves? Can we work as colleagues? Can we work with respectability and continue doing that? Give each other space and time to give a point and then come and give your point. Let us try and work as a team that is tasked by the National Assembly to process certain things. Of course, carrying on your mandate, but can still express your views in a very cordial manner amongst ourselves. Thank you very much, Honourable Members. Have a good day, and we'll see you later in the other processes of the Parliament.
Thank you, Chair, and bye-bye, colleagues.
Thank you, Chair. Bye-bye, colleagues.